Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined today once again by friend of the pod, Peter Marsh.
How's it going?
Pete, how are you?
I'm doing well, man. I'm super excited to talk about Power Rangers once again.
Uh-oh, we're in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Something's come along.
Gonna burst our bubble.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's right.
This is a two-parter. This is going to be, today we're going to talk about Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie from 1995, directed by Brian Spicer. And next week, we are going to talk about Krispy Kreme's Power Rangers from 2017, or Saban's Krispy Kreme's Power Rangers from 2017. Now, there's a little bit of a cheat here, which is there was the Turbo movie, which was released into theaters, but that was more of a cash grab. That's barely a movie.
Exactly.
It's just a couple episodes strung together.
It's painful to watch too.
Yeah,
have you seen it?
Yeah, I actually saw it in the theater.
Oh.
Yeah, not good. Not good.
You know, while we were preparing for this, I was thinking to myself that when it comes to like franchises that you're into when you're a kid, you know, like Ghostbusters, He-Man, Ninja Turtles, it's kind of like when you're on a villain's team in a movie and they go a little too far. And then you're like, oh, I was on board for this, but now I got to like back out.
Yes.
And I think that when you get to that age, when you're like, oh, I'm going through puberty and, you know, I'm going to be an adolescent. That's when you start to get that feeling like, I was on board, but I'm backing out now.
Yeah. One of the things that I think is smart about Power Rangers, and in some ways also Ninja Turtles, is that they decided that there is no sort of like official, this is the Power Rangers, that reboot is part of its DNA, and that every year or 2 years it'll be rebooted. And now it's for another. I think that's one of the reasons maybe why the 2017 movie didn't take off the way I wanted it to, because I think it actually hasn't, there's been no breathing room. It's kind of gone consistently since it started.
That's right. The last time I was on, I mentioned how there's been a different incarnation every year, and that's gone over for over two decades at this point, right? And it's all pretty much been one continuity. Even though it reboots, there's new characters, you could trace the story back each time to the original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Right, right. I was a huge fan of the first series, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, and this movie, which only came out, I guess, right before the third season was aired, but I think they filmed it around the same time as the second season.
Yeah.
Was one of the biggest, like, anticipatory events of my young life. It was 1995, so I was 12, and I loved Power Rangers the first two seasons. I ate it up. I had the toys. You know, it's funny, when you're a kid, things feel longer. You know, when I was thinking about this movie, it was only, Power Rangers was still new, really, when the film came out. But for me, it was like, I guess in my memory, it was around for longer. And, you know, like almost like with episode one levels of how much I was so excited to see it. And I saw it a million times and I, you know, convinced myself that it was great.
Yeah. I felt excited for it just because it was cool to see it on the big screen. And you mentioned the director, you know, Spicer, right? Brian Spicer.
Yeah.
He wanted it to be a feature film. He wanted it to look good, right? Yeah. And it's exciting to see it on screen and like to have different kinds of shots and for it to not be so like, oh, they're just using recycled footage once again. It's brand new footage.
Right, right.
That was exciting, but I'm just a little older than you. And so for me, it was like a little embarrassing to see it in the theater.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. did you do it? Did you see it?
I did. Okay. But the whole time I was sitting there kind of like, oh, this is kind of awkward. And especially when they go to the other planet and there's that woman that's like in a bikini. I was like, oh, I felt weird sitting there, you know?
Did you have to convince your friends like, let's just go as a goof. We'll make fun of it. But secretly you were really into it.
Well, one of the things that I had that was a nice loophole as a kid was I had a lot of younger cousins I hung out with.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they were like the appropriate age for stuff. And I was still able to kind of live through them. So I took them.
Yeah. So do you remember liking the film when it came out?
I did not, actually.
Oh, okay.
I was a little pompous 12-year-old critic. You know, I was probably closer to 13. But I just thought that Ivan Ooze was really stupid. I didn't like his jokes at all. The jokes kind of felt flat. And I think that even the CGI at that point, I think I was being a snob about it because, like, we had seen, you know, like Jurassic Park and Terminator 2 at that point, and the Zords, and particularly when Ivan Ooze becomes that Zord at the very end, it looks very, very fake.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Good on you. I mean, when I saw it, I had no discerning tastes. You know, I just ate it up. You know, I couldn't see its, same thing with the show though. Like, I couldn't see its glaring issues, and I was just so dazzled by, you know, maybe kids now don't understand it because movies are less the sort of paramount thing in our pop culture, but it used to be like when something was, you know, quote unquote, the movie, Power Rangers, the movie, it was like, you knew you were going to get something bigger and better and more shiny and beautiful. And I loved the soundtrack and I loved the toys and I loved the costume. And watching it again recently for this episode, I could very clearly see how bad it is. But I still kind of think it's fun. I don't totally hate it. I kind of enjoyed watching it. And I, in fact, to argue with 13-year-old you, I actually think that Ivan Ooze is probably the best thing in the movie because he's the best actor in the movie. He's the only real actor in the movie.
Yes.
Paul Frears or Freeze?
Wait, I have this all. Paul Freeman.
Freeman, way off.
Yeah.
Paul Freeman, who also is Belloc in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Right.
He is actually acting. He's actually doing it.
Yeah.
Whereas the rest of them are just sort of like half stuntmen, half models. I think the new guys, like Rocky Adam, they have like one line each in the movie.
He's got his I'm a frog line.
Yeah,
Adam.
Yeah. That was his big moment.
Yeah. I remember actually that moment being genuinely funny in the movie. But the humor in general, which Ivan Ooze, humor is such a big part of his character. And I just really felt like the jokes were very corny at that point.
Right.
You're right. He is the only legitimate actor in that movie. But, you know, it's kind of funny when it comes to villains in movies, right? Like villains that are introduced in a movie that's part of a franchise, right? Because there's nothing more lethal than a villain that's introduced in a movie. Right. Like Ivan Ooze is in the movie for like 10 minutes.
Right.
He shows up and all of a sudden he just blasts the command center. He almost kills Zordon. The Power Rangers lose their power. It's this thing. It's like if you haven't seen them on the show, they just come on and they are like way more competent than the people that are usually there.
Right.
You know, like he puts Rita and Zed in a snow globe.
Right. He completely cuts down any threat that the villains of the TV show have.
Yeah.
Like he just treats like I remember feeling like Lord Zed was really a scary villain when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And he kind of like fucking shits all over Lord Zed. Lord Zed is like the cool guy at the party. And then Ivan Ooze comes in and is like, fuck this guy, everybody. Right. And then fucking like throws a beer on him. And
yeah, he's like the upstart on like the Sopranos or something that you haven't seen. And he comes in on the third season. He like breaks and shoves it in the guy's throat. But it's funny because like, even with the design of Lord Zed and Rita, right? Like Lord Zed is a lot more intimidating looking in this movie.
His brain moves. His brain sort of undulates and moves.
Yeah. And they also like modified his voice too, right? Like his voice is sort of more intense. It's got a little bit more of a bass to it.
Yeah.
So he's more intimidating and just Ooze just with the snap of his fingers, he's gone.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting because like Ivan Ooze is so powerful, but yet so corny. It's like if you just took one of those qualities away and made it maybe into two villains, that would have been compelling.
Right. Let's say, by the way, right now, spoiler alert.
Oh, yes.
Oh, you know, a 20-something-year-old movie, Power Rangers. So in some of the research I was doing for the episode, I saw that there were two scripts that kind of they kind of combined into one.
Yes.
And the original script had Ivan Ooze is not funny, much more scary. And I'm wondering if that's something you think would have worked better.
Yes. Oh, man, I am so glad that you brought that up. Yeah. So in that research, too, there's a guy, Arnie Olsen, right? He's the one that came up with the initial script with the idea of Power Rangers going to different planets in space, right? Having this big epic adventure. And then there's John Camps. He's the one that came up with Ivan Ooze, and he's the one that made Ivan Ooze kind of scary.
Yeah.
They combined Arnie Olsen's script and they combined John Camps' script, and Arnie Olsen wanted to make Ivan Ooze a funny guy. So he's the one that changed him around, and he wanted him to be really funny, and he made him into a shapeshifter too. And I think that if they just had made him intimidating, like some sort of like ooze kind of creature, I think the movie would be like much more, I would have enjoyed it more.
Well, you know, you can't help when you're older rewriting things as you watch them.
Of course.
You just said something pivotal, which is they make him a shapeshifter. The movie gets nothing out of that. He does it really once. Because when the Power Rangers first meet him, he pretends to be a Australian security guard. By the way, every extra has an Australian accent because it was clearly filmed in Australia. And everybody's either has an Australian accent or is trying to repress an Australian accent.
Right.
And he's like a security guard. And the Power Rangers are like, oh, look, it's a security guard. And then he turns into Ivan Ooze. So there was no point to that anyway. He wasn't trying to fool them. He just wanted to make a good entrance. And then he never does it again. Like later on, there's a little bit of a subplot that they really kind of like, you know, it seemed like it was probably bigger in the script, but they cut it down a lot, which was the whole thing with the toys and stuff, or the gack, the ooze.
Ivan's ooze.
So you think, okay, this is gonna be like when the Joker will go on TV or something, right? But he just looks like Ivan Ooze. He doesn't look like anybody else. Like you think, okay, this is gonna be Ivan Ooze. Even says, "I'm a master of disguise," and then you just see it's just Ivan Ooze in a different hat, and it's like, okay, he's a different hat. I guess he's a master of disguise. So they got nothing out of that. Think about how cool it would actually be if he was a shapeshifter and it was like John Carpenter's The Thing. Like they didn't know who Ivan Ooze was.
Oh shit! It's Bulk and Skull. Which one is Ivan Ooze? We gotta kill him.
That would be great. You killed Bulk.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Ooze could have been that one kid who's sort of like the side character that, you know, people care about. Who's that kid? I wrote down his name too.
Oh, Fred.
Fred, yeah.
Fred is the second best actor in the movie.
Yes. Well, I'm glad that you brought that up, right? Because I'm watching the Rangers, I'm watching their dialogue. I know that I love these like specific characters, especially Tommy. I love Tommy, right? But none of them really have personality at all.
No, there's nothing to them.
Yeah. Like everyone says generic things, all the Rangers, and then they say little puns when they're fighting, right?
Yeah.
But like maybe Kimberly gets sad when Zordon gets taken out.
Yeah.
Adam has his moment where he's a frog and he's upset. Right. But that's it. They're just like cardboard.
Right. I mean, the film opens with first the Power Rangers are skydiving for charity. Okay. So they skydive, they land, and then they go right from that into rollerblading. In the same day, by the way, no break. We just jumped out of a plane. No. And it's like, it's, you know, and it's vibrant and it's very like, you know, there's music going and stuff, but it's like, there's nothing there. You don't see them interact. Even the relationship between Kimberly and Tommy is not explicit in this. They never kiss. There's like one knowing look where like he puts his hand on her shoulder at the very end. Mm-hmm. And it made me wonder like why, like they had canonically, I think, already liked each other at least. So why, it seemed like they were avoiding characterization.
No joke. No kidding. Yeah. I'm glad you brought that first scene, right? Because that scene kind of establishes they are superheroes, right?
Yeah.
You know, they all jump out of that plane and Tommy has this badass moment where he's the one that has the surfboard. And he goes,
of course.
You know,
Tommy always has to be better than everyone else.
Right. Well, see, that's like one thing you can attribute to him. It's like, oh, he's kind of the more badass one. He's able to fight harder.
Yeah.
Do cooler moves. Like even on the show, Billy has sort of this like real dense kind of dialogue where he just says a whole bunch of scientific terms. There's nothing like that on the show whatsoever.
Yeah, no, Billy's the smart nerd in this.
Yeah. There's nothing like that. I really do like that sequence when they jump out of the plane because they're playing Red Hot Chili Peppers version of Higher Ground.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that was really well shot.
Right.
And then right after that with the rollerblading, they're playing some other song that I can't remember. It's like, you know, from the 90s.
Yeah.
But I was just really digging that. But then there's just nothing to them. And they're bummed out when Zordon gets taken out. But there's not really any kind of arc.
So I want to bring up things that, going back into being a 12-year-old, I want to bring up the things that when I was 12, I thought was the most dramatic shit I had ever seen.
Oh, no.
So when, you know, no villain ever goes into the command center. That's where Zordon is in Alpha 5. So when Ivan Ooze like oozes through the door and comes in and like wrecks the command center, I thought it was I was like, whoa, I thought it was the most dramatic shit I had ever seen in my life.
Yeah. And
the way he's like destroying shit. He's making jokes about the Brady Bunch reunion. It's a whole thing. And by the way, like, I don't know, clearly Zordon is transmitting himself from somewhere else. Right. I never thought he was inside that tube, but yeah. In this movie, like, he destroys everything. And then you just see Zordon is like, he looks like the lead singer of REM, just like sort of hanging out there and just looking like sort of sad and so weird. Oh yeah,
Michael Stipe.
Kimberly has a line where she's like, "You're like a father to us," and I'm thinking, like, really?
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah, yeah. And the scenes with Zordon, they're just literally there to be like kind of like placeholders, or just to basically cut away from the Power Rangers, because there's like four scenes where he's in that tube, and he just says super generic things to Alpha the whole time, right?
Yeah.
He's like, "The Rangers won't fail," or like, "We must count on them." There's not much to it. And I think that they kind of did like a Return of the Jedi thing, right? Where the Zordon that is hovering in the tube is the guy from the show. But then I think they got another actor to be the Zordon that's laying there, right?
Because he's supposed to be like literally like drying up and dying.
Yeah, like a prune.
Tube. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's supposed to be adding a ticking clock to the narrative as well. Like, oh, they better get there. The new powers quick or Zordon's going to die.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah, they never really explain it. Even on the show, they never really explain why Zordon's in this tube, you know? And actually, just a little spoiler for the Power Rangers show, Zordon does die in a Power Rangers show at one point.
Yeah.
There's a show after Mighty Morphin and after Power Rangers Zeo called Power Rangers in Space. And the villains totally kick ass and they've like taken over like the universe. And the Red Ranger cracks open Zordon's tube, and Zordon's energy essentially like wipes out the bad guys and like purifies the people. And you should look this up if you ever get a chance. Yeah. But like Lord Zedd gets turned into like a regular guy. Rita gets turned into a regular girl, and they like kind of dance with each other. Yeah, yeah. It's this weird scene. Like he's the actor that voices Lord Zedd, and she's the woman that plays Rita.
Wow.
So like it's never really defined like why Zordon's in that tube, but I never thought that he was like a little raisin man that was like, you know.
Wait, this movie, by the way, tries to add more lore to it. It also tries to be a lot like Star Wars by adding a scroll at the beginning, which so I guess bad. Is supposed to, for if you haven't seen the show, kind of give you an idea of the whole premise without having seen the show. But there's a point where, what do they call him?
Eltar, right?
Eltar. Zordon of Eltar. And I remember as a kid being like, whoa, there's so much lore here. I wonder what that is.
Yeah. Well, you know, the last time I was on your show, we mentioned the Power Rangers comics.
Yeah.
And the modern Power Rangers comics, the ones that are going right now, every issue begins with like Zordon's backstory, where it shows him on Eltar, and he's a blue dude running around. And they kind of refer to him as a mage. So he's kind of like this magic user. And he's kind of like a precursor to the Power Ranger.
Okay. See, that's a cool... We talked about, if you haven't listened to that episode, you can go listen to it up on the feed. We talked about how that comic does a really good job of actually not denying anything of the series, using the series look, using the series technology, using the series canon, but creating really good, interesting stories.
Yeah.
This movie really doesn't do that. It the costumes look different. Alpha 5 looks different. The command center looks different. I have to say, though, that I liked all those things. I like the way Alpha 5 looks.
Mm-hmm.
I like the way the command center looks. And I even like their costumes, even though like it creates a continuity problem, which, and you probably know more about this than me, the movie ends up just not being part of canon. They just, the opening of the third season just kind of redoes the movie in a way, gives them their like ninja powers or whatever. what do you think of the look of this movie?
Okay, well, I like it. I really like their suits. The interesting thing about their suits, right, is that they have these special made suits. They're not wearing spandex anymore, but they're super heavy. Each of those suits weighed 40 pounds.
Crazy.
And the stunt people and the actors, they couldn't really move around in them initially. And so they had to like cut holes in the suits, and they had to kind of add some elastic and stuff in places. It was real cumbersome at first. There's a lot of great attention to detail for all the costumes, including Ivan Ooze. Like Ivan Ooze looks cool. He's just real silly. And Ivan Ooze himself, Paul Freeman, it took him initially 7 hours for them to put all that makeup on.
Wow.
Right.
That sounds like such a nightmare.
Yeah. And his headpiece is actually five different pieces they had to like put together each time. They got it down to 4 hours eventually, but like everything looks better. Like I said before, Lord Zedd looks a lot better than he does on the show. Rita looks better. Goldar looks better. I like Goldar's face.
He there's more expression going on in his face. What, all
Right.
right, where's Finster? What's with this pig guy?
Okay, I'm really, really glad you asked that question because they don't have Finster and they don't have Babu and Squat. Those are the
No,
three.
right.
Right. And my logic for that, I think, is that Babu and Squat, like the monkey looking one, Babu, he by like an Asian actor from the Super Sentai footage. And so they never had like an American version of him. So I think they just were like, fuck that guy. And so they just got this warthog thing instead. It's like warthog thing with a monocle.
It reminded me of Chokar and Rezar in Ninja Turtles 2, where
Right.
like as a kid you wanted him to be Bebop and Rocksteady, but it
Right.
wasn't. Or you know, I guess another analog would be like what's his name? Gwildar in Masters Universe. It's like he's kind of like Orko, but he's not Orko.
Yes. Those are all perfect examples because those are all examples of like, how do we translate this into film? It's not going to work if we try to do it literally, you know? And so, and it's all about money. I really do think that's the reason why they had the warthog guy whose name is Mordant. He's just in this movie and that's it. Yeah. He
He's
doesn't bring
just part of
much.
the crew.
Yeah. And you know, I know we're kind of jumping around, but there's one scene in particular with him and Goldar and Ivan Ooze that like really bothered me. Like Ivan Ooze has these humans that he, you know, hypnotizes because they all touch the ooze, all the parents, right?
Right.
And so
Nobody
they
who lives in Angel Grove is childless.
Right,
All
right.
adults have children.
Right, right. And so and they're all going to touch this kid's ooze at some point and get hypnotized. So anyway, they're able to uncover his zords that he has. He has these things called Morphicons. And when they're done, he's like, "Go kill yourselves. Go jump off a cliff," right? And it's like literally a minute of like Goldar and Mordant and Ivan Ooze just saying goodbye to them in different languages. They're like, "Arrivederci," and Goldar's like, "Goodbye, bye." You know, like, it, oh God, oh, that's hard to
Hasta
watch.
la vista.
Right. It's like, are we just trying to pad the runtime? Like, what's going on here?
It's like Ivan Ooze, or the actor played Ivan Ooze, saw Robin Williams' genie from Aladdin, and it was like, I'm just gonna do that. I'm just gonna do pop culture references, even though I'm supposed to have been stuck inside something for a long time. And that's what I'm gonna do.
You are 1,000,000% on the money there because when he comes out, he kind of roars like Robin Williams, and then he says something like, "Oh, I have a Charlie horse since like the Inquisition or some bullshit like that." Yeah, yeah.
So there are some elements that, as a little kid, because I keep trying to put myself into remembering how I felt then. So there were a couple elements that I wanted that I didn't get. I always wanted them to use their guns. And I thought, oh, in the movie, because I did know that there was like the Sentai footage. I was aware at least of that much. So it's like, oh, since the movie's gonna be all new footage, they could just be shooting the guns left and right. Didn't happen. The poor guy who played the owner of the juice bar, fat guy,
Yeah, Ernie.
Ernie, boy, he got screwed, huh? He's in
Yeah,
almost every episode, and you could just see him like being like, where's my script? And they're like, ah, sorry, the
they
juice bar didn't make it in.
didn't want to pay for his plane ticket to Australia.
I know, no. And I wanted more out of what they could do. Like, there's this cool thing that they try to do where they're like, look, each suit can do different things. Like, Aisha, the Yellow Ranger, she could like her helmet could like turn into like a beam of light that you could look to search. And oh, Billy ends up having like a Batman type grappling hook. They all have stupid names too. Kimberly has a whip, a pterodactyl whip or something. And it's like, okay, cool. They're all doing different things. But oh, I remember the putties. I wanted there to be putties in the movie, and there's no putties in the movie. There's
No.
fake putties. There's the bird
Right.
things. And then before that, there's like the really shitty like Ivan Ooze clones. They just look like guys that they put in like shitty like Party City Ivan Ooze costumes.
Their masks are particularly terrible. Their masks just look like spray-painted Michael Myers masks.
It's so bad. It's so
Yeah.
bad. And like when they hit them, they'll like turn into goop or something.
Yes, there's one part that's particularly unforgivable when, like, Rocky and Adam double team this one ooze guy, and they both kick him, and his face kind of stretches. It's like a cartoon. Like, his eyes become red like a cartoon, and it makes that noise.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah.
When they fight, they just go into pun mode. And whereas, like, it, when you look at something like Spider-Man, when he's doing that, it works because the threat is real. And you can tell that Spider-Man, no matter what version, the comic or the movies, he's riffing because the character of Peter Parker is trying to almost kind of like mentally confuse his opponent and also like kind of just entertain himself. But with the Power Rangers, every single one of them is doing nothing but puns. and what it does is it evaporates any tension that could happen from the fighting. That's what makes the movie essentially a banal experience. Because there's tons and tons of fighting, but nothing is ever at stake. The only fight that I actually think still kind of holds up because it's mostly practical effects is when they're going through like they're on that other planet and they're trying to find the ninja or ninjetti, whatever powers. And like that giant like fossil, like bones of a dinosaur monster comes after them. That kind of works because you don't see it coming and it's practical effects. Mm-hmm. Everything else. And I always, you know, they start fighting like these rock monsters at some point that are guarding like the temple. And they've got all these rock jokes. And it's like, do the Power Rangers just at night just write down puns for any given scenario? Oh, what if we fight like a turnip villain? Oh, we're going to need turnip jokes. You know, I get that Power Rangers was under the, they were under the microscope of parents groups because people were saying it was too violent, but you have the violence just become meaningless dancing, really.
Yeah. You know, the puns seem to stand out a lot more in the movie, and maybe it's just because the battle scenes are more prolonged and stuff like that. That scene that we were just talking about with those Ivanhoe's clones, that's a pretty long scene, right? Yeah. They show up, they attack the Power Rangers morph. Then those guys like hide and the Power Rangers look around for them.
Right.
Usually on the show. Well,
it's cool because it's at night, which you rarely see in the show. You didn't see much at night.
Yeah. Almost never. Yeah.
And I remember just as a kid and even now, I think the morphing is cool because that's the moment you're waiting for as a kid, right? You're like, when are they going to morph? Because they, even in the show, they always try to fight. And it's like, you know, just morph from the get-go and save time.
Right. Yeah.
That's why, like, in the 2017 movie, they have super strength even outside of their costumes.
Yeah, that's kind of a thing that happens in later versions of Power Rangers, right? As you go on, they have powers before they even morph, right? Sometimes it's like people have natural abilities, like X-Men, where they have like special powers they're born with. And other times it's like a side effect of being a Power Ranger. But in this, you know, everyone's an excellent martial artist. There's a lot of extra flipping in this movie. I don't know if you noticed that.
Oh my God. What? There's a point where they like all backflip away from danger.
Yep.
And Billy's like, I'm right behind you, Kimberly. And it's like,
right.
You think, couldn't you just run? Wouldn't it be more efficient to run instead of backflip away?
Right. Like, well,
saw that cool scene in Batman Returns where Catwoman backflips out of the stores that's exploding behind her. And they were like, let's just do that with every character.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because it comes from this Japanese source, right? And you have all these like excellent martial artists who could do all these fun things that are fun to watch. But when you break it down with like a practical point of view, you're like, oh, this is so silly. You know, this is so ridiculous. I actually do like that scene where they're kind of backflipping together, you know, because it that really captures the essence of what Power Rangers is. It's all these like young kids that are just like as innocent and as like pure as it could possibly be. And they all wear the colors of their Power Ranger costumes. They're always together. No one ever knows that. It's like, oh, those guys are always wearing the same colors as the Power Rangers, but they're not the Power Rangers.
Have you noticed there's five skydivers and they've got the same colors as the Power Rangers? And
right. I remember as a kid seeing the commercial for the movie and there's that shot of Tommy on his like surfboard. And I was like, oh, he's the Ranger right there. Like I thought he was in his Power Ranger suit. Yeah. You know, so it's kind of funny watching this because you remember it when you were a kid and like, you know, certain things standing out.
Yeah.
But it's just ultimately like the 2017 movie is definitely a step up in many, many regards.
Sure.
You know, but I think what makes this appealing or charming is just that it still kind of has the essence of the show.
Sure.
And
It's for kids. It's for sure for kids. The first movie, for sure.
There's an innocence, and pretty much all the way up until modern Power Rangers, where it is still for kids. You know, that 2017 movie is different. I watched it with my kid who's 10, and I felt like a little awkward watching it with her.
Right. If I were a kid watching the 2017 movie, and we'll talk about that more next week, I were a kid watching the 2017 movie, I would be bored because they don't morph until the third act.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the way little kids don't like Batman Begins because he's not Batman for most of the movie.
Right.
It's for kids. And there are things I like about it. Like, it's very easy for us to, like, make fun of how shitty it is.
Yeah.
But it's certainly a charming movie. I think even the actors, they might not be great actors. They're charming. They have chemistry together.
Yeah.
I think Ivan Ooze is charismatic. I think I understand your beef with him being like so goofy, but I think he is a good villain. I like when he says, "Oh, Zordon's still using teenagers to do his dirty work."
Yeah.
I feel like it's cool. No one ever really talks about the fact that they're teenagers and their kids and how this is a weird situation.
Yeah.
There were some, what's interesting is this director, he didn't really do any more movies, but he works like a ton. He's a TV director. Mm-hmm. He's a journeyman TV director. He probably lives in a gold house. He's directed episodes of like every fucking TV show. And he was not a fan of the show, but he kind of just like did a crash course where he watched as much as he could and then came in, was like, "This is what I want to do." And they just let him do it. So you could see that even though it was like being filmed at the same time as the second season, you could see that the director was like trying to remake the idea, almost reboot it while it's happening. Kind of like, what should we focus on? What should we not focus on?
Mm.
And so you could see the movie, it might be corny and stupid, but it's not a mess. It's not all over the place.
No.
It's not overly long. It kind of works. It actually works pretty well for what it is.
Yeah. I mean, that's a really good point. Like, you brought up Power Rangers Turbo at the beginning of this episode, and that feels like a mess. And that is in continuity for Power Rangers. And you're right. This does have all the things you expect from a Power Rangers story.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have a lot of the stupid, cheesy Bulk and Skull scenes. Bulk and Skull kind of have their own little thing in this movie too.
Right.
One of the things, because we were talking about how the characters don't have arcs or personalities, right? But the low points of the show were always when you'd have these stupid little Bulk and Skull misadventures that were just there to be filler, or when the characters would have like little things that they couldn't get over. And, their bad acting just made it kind of drag out. You're like, come on, let's just get to the action. Nobody cares about this. And the movie's just stripped of all that. It's just like adventure. It's plot. So many of our franchises that we love, that we grew up watching as kids, I'm sure you've covered a lot of them on your show. Mm. But, you know, there's like Transformers. They have the Transformers movie. G.I. Joe. They have G.I. Joe movie. Masters of the Universe. They have that movie, right?
Yeah.
And pretty much like 9 out of 10 times, the action itself is beefed up and the adventure itself, the scale is beefed up. And in this, the director, Spicer, said that he wanted to go further than they could in the movie. They're not just in Angel Grove. They go to another planet.
Right.
Right.
Which suspiciously looks like Australia as well.
Yeah. It's kind of funny because they look around, they're like, "Oh my God, look at this alien world." But yet it just looks like, you know, an Earth beach, right?
Right. They could have got a lot more out of that. I mean, there's no other than Dulcea, who ends up being someone that they really don't flesh out. You just know that she knows Zordon and she can fight and she can turn into an owl.
Yes.
But you don't get the feeling that like she's part of the indigenous people of that planet.
No.
Even the whole thing of like, oh, this is a very dangerous mission and many have tried and no one has succeeded. And it's like, well, really, what's so dangerous about it? The rock monsters in front of the temple? It feels like they spend like a day's walk and then they're there.
Yeah, like, it is pretty brief.
Yeah.
I know that they were supposed to go to multiple planets and maybe like they were going to encounter those skeletons and stuff on one planet and then those rock monsters on another planet. Yeah. And they just kind of put it into one. But that's kind of the fun of the movie, though, too, is just to have these different kinds of creatures. Because like on the show, you would just have the putties and then one monster and then they get bigger and then they fight them. Right. But this, it's like, you know, there's the Tengu warriors. Those are the bird guys. Then there's the rock guys. There's the skeletons. And then there's the Ooze guys in the beginning. And then Ivan Ooze has his own like Zords too.
Yeah.
So you know, when
it
I think
breaks
about
the formula, it breaks the very, very sort of stale formula of every episode.
Yeah. Cause it's always a big deal when the bad guy has their own kind of Zord too. Usually, cause usually they just have monsters that get bigger.
And they just grow into the size of a kaiju.
Right. But
guess what? Ivan Ooze, he's got two.
He's got two, yeah.
That's double the dramatic tension.
His ectomorphicons, and one of them is called Scorpatron, and the other one's called Hornetron.
These things, can we talk about how these things look?
Of course.
Oh, boy. Look, it's 1995, and it's early days. It's early days for CG, and I got to admit, when I was a kid, I thought it was cool to see that instead of just like what was clearly old footage from the 70s.
Right.
But looking at it now, oh boy, is it really bad. It's really rudimentary. The only favor they did themselves is that they made them chrome, because, you know, one of the hard, I don't know a lot about CGI, but I know that one of the difficult things is surfaces. So a lot of early CGI looks very shiny. Mm-hmm. So they just went, they just leaned into that by saying, okay, let's just make them chrome, because if we try to make them look like anything else, it's not going to work at all. And also, if it's chrome, they could be reflecting things, and you kind of don't exactly know what you're looking at. But anyway, they don't look good. And you know what? What looks even worse than the two ectomorphicons is the Power Rangers Zords and Megazord.
Yes.
It really doesn't look good. And they ended up in season three doing that with old footage, I guess, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, they have the Sentai footage of those Zords.
Right. And that ended up looking better, I think.
Yeah. I think for season three, they were still using like practical effects.
Yeah.
Because they're just using that Sentai footage that's from a while ago, but that was practical effects, right?
I'm sorry, go on.
In the movie, the guy, Spicer, wanted to have a combination of all different types of effects you could use. He wanted to have practical effects and digital effects all in like one shot. And so they have these digital effects, but they're fighting in a like a set that's like, you know, models basically, right?
Scale model set, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that kind of blows my mind, right? Because at one point, Ivan Ooze, when he's in the Zord and he's kind of become the Zord
that
monster.
That looks so bad.
That's the worst one. No, you're right. The Falcon Megazord is the worst one.
Yeah.
The Ranger's Zord. But he throws them through a hospital. And it's kind of interesting because, like, he throws a CGI creature through a physical hospital. You know, like, that's kind of cool. I like that. Making them work together.
Well, I like that they're fighting at night and that they're fighting on the streets instead of typically in an episode with the older footage. It just looks like they're out in a desert somewhere. Like that they're fighting in Angel Grove and there's buildings being knocked down and stuff. That I thought, that I still think it was cool to see different imagery, I guess.
Yeah.
And some of it worked and some of it doesn't. And it is old, but also like, you know, like Jurassic Park, it happened. Like,
right. You know,
it wasn't that bad. There were other things doing better. There were other shows doing better work. Other movies doing better work. So it really, that I think that's the thing that doesn't hold up the most in terms of visual. You just look at it and it's like, oh my God. This looks like, remember the TV show Reboot?
Of course I do, yes.
That's what it looks like. It just looks like such... Or like Transformers Beast Wars.
Beast Wars, yes.
It's like, oh, this looks cringy.
No, Beast Wars looks better than that.
Oh, okay, yeah.
No, I know, it's rough. And it's funny because like they fly into space, which they didn't really ever do that in the show too. There's this whole like chase in space sequence. And they set up in the very beginning of the movie, mentioned that there's going to be a comet coming.
Sure, yeah.
Right? Ryan's comet. That's just so they could be like, oh, we mentioned this before. And then they have the moment. Aisha has her chance to shine. You know, she breaks the glass.
That's so stupid.
In case of emergency, you know, this is going to knee a creature in the balls.
Right.
So this robot creature has balls and it hurts him.
Right. And even though you're in a giant weapon, this is still an emergency. Like, this is still like, you don't want to use this.
Yeah. Don't use the ball. You know, pressure.
So stupid. But you're right. To give it credit, or to at least maybe not to give it credit, but to tap into what I liked as a kid, it was cool to see them in space. It was cool to see them flying around. I mean,
Yeah.
Their Zords, you know, are really doing things, at least.
Right.
And even though I don't like the CG, I have to say that I like those Zords. Like, even mm-hmm. in season three, when it's practical, I like those Zords. I like the frog. I like that, you know, the dinosaurs were cool, but I like that they're not dinosaurs. I like that there's like a bird and a frog and a bear. I actually like those Zords a lot.
Yeah, yeah. When they use the Zords before they become the Megazord, they do some real fun stuff, you know? The frog Zord like shoots out its tongue and wraps around the scorpion Zord. And then the wolf Zord bites onto the scorpion's tail. And it like rips off the scorpion's tail, and then like ooze comes shooting out. It's kind of like blood. It, you know, it's kind of cool. Kimberly's able to do a few things with the pterodactyl. And I know that like Tommy and that Falcon Zord, you know, he brings the wings together and shoots missiles, and that blows up. Yeah. That's cool stuff.
I remember really being into that. By the way, the Tenga Warriors, the bird, they're in season three, right?
They are. They just basically replaced the putties.
So there must have been. Because this was such a weird production because, originally wanted some other director and that person pulled out or they fired that person and they put in the Spicer guy. The woman who plays Dulcina hurt herself. So then they recast her with Mariska Hargitay from Law & Order SVU.
Oh.
You could even see there's footage and of her playing the character. But then they were like, oh, we don't like her. So they recast the original woman back when she... healed. So it's a weird production, and clearly the director who came in wanted it to be different from the show, but there's some dialogue happening between the show and what the show's going to do and the movie, because I guess they had the ninja footage of a Sentai show. They had those Zords. They knew that they were gonna use the bird people. They knew that they were gonna have footage of them in the ninja, like the ninja costumes, which by the way, I kind of like that. I like the way that looks, and I like that it gives a second way to morph. Like they could first have the costumes and then go into the Power Ranger costumes. So there's some connection. There was somebody who was saying, like, maybe it was Saban himself, like, you got to put this in the movie because that's going to be in the next season.
Right, right. No, there is absolutely that. The movie serves as a great transition into, like, the next form of the Zords that they have, those ninja costumes, all that kind of stuff. But then there's Sentai footage that explains how to do all of that. And that's what they chose to go with.
Why do you think that is?
Why do I think
the movie canon?
Okay. I actually don't have the answer for that one.
I can't find a good answer for it. So we could only speculate.
If I could guess.
Yeah, guess.
I think that like Saban, I think they're pretty much like notoriously cheap. And I think that if they were like, oh, we could make a whole 5-episode arc where it shows them get those powers and stuff, I think that let's just do that. Let's just film that. And they just ran with that just to kind of save money and to pad a season. Because back then for kids shows, it's not like what we have with our shows now where it's like 10 episodes and that's it.
Right.
I mean, they had like 28 episodes in a season or like 31 episodes in a season.
Right. They were stripped, which means they'd have Monday to Friday.
Yeah. So like what's interesting, and this is like a little side tangent, but when you watch Power Rangers, there's the stuff that they film in America with like the actors that are on the show and even them in the suits and stuff. And they will sometimes fight the main bad guys that you'll see like Goldar, right? And stuff like that. Then you have the Sentai footage, and that's usually when they're fighting the monster, right? But you'll see like when they fight putties and stuff, obviously it's the American actors, right?
Fighting
the putties.
Right.
So the Tengu Warriors were made for this movie, and they're just used in American footage that's in season three.
I see.
So they're not from Sentai footage.
Right.
And like, and just another little side thing, just for people that are Power Rangers fans, but not as weird as me, like Lord Zedd isn't in Sentai footage. Lord Zedd was made in the United States.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff that they make for the United States part of the show. But it's all just like kind of cut and pasting things together, like taking some of the Sentai footage, taking stuff they film here and just trying to make a story out of it.
Right.
So I would assume that like they just kept in the show. What happens is the command center gets attacked. They lose their power coins and they have to go find a guy named Ninjor, and Ninjor gives them the powers.
Right. They do it differently. It's way different. There's no Dulcia, like it's a different way of doing it entirely.
Yeah, and so It's kind of funny too, because the ninja version on the show, their masks are different, and like the white one, you know, Tommy, he kind of looks like a KKK member on the show.
Yeah,
you know, and Adam yeah. kind of looks like a KKK guy because sometimes they wear black too.
Yeah,
I like the ninja design in the movie way better than what they use on the show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, in the show, their faces are also all the way covered.
Right, exactly.
Where in the movie, you can see their faces. They filmed some. Another weird thing about this production is they filmed a bunch of stuff with their visors off, so you could see the actors, mm-hmm. and it just wasn't working.
Right.
Although they end up doing that in the 2017 movie.
That's
in
right.
In a way
right.
where they can make their visors come and go.
Yeah.
You know, something that I found really interesting watching it this time was sure. Ivanhoe has this whole plot of he's going to make the parents of Angel Grove, he's going to enslave them, make them into zombies, and have them dig up his creatures or his Zords, whatever.
Right.
Ectomorphicons, whatever.
That's right.
And he does that by giving out this free ooze, Ivan's ooze, which is kind of like at the time, well, now it's popular again, like slime and stuff. So it was right. like a slime toy, and he gave it to the kids for free, and then the parents would touch it and become. But given Power Rangers and Haim Sabam and what we know about Power Rangers in terms of its relationship to toys, doesn't that feel like maybe the writers are sneaking something in there? Because it feels almost like a meta critique of the fact that this is essentially just to sell toys. Because think about it. It's the Power Rangers movie, right? What Power Rangers is there to sell toys, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And in the movie, the villain's plot involves creating a toy to give to kids, which will then brainwash their parents into zombies.
Yeah. So you think there's some commentary there?
Either that or I'm just reading that, which I'm fine with that either. I don't know if it's snuck in or if it's just something I'm reading, but it's certainly odd when you think about it. It's kind of yeah. like in something else that and this is another like thesis I'm going to write one day.
Oh,
something
yes.
I've noticed in the newer Disney Star Wars movies is in the world of Star Wars now, there are toys. Like they have Star Wars toys in Star Wars movies now. Like Jyn Erso has a Stormtrooper doll. Rey in The Force Awakens has a X-Wing fighter doll.
Right.
At the end of The Last Jedi, you see little kids playing with like Star Wars action figures to like.
Yeah.
So it's like it's interesting that like because Star Wars is as important in the history of toys as it is in the history of movies. So it's interesting that like that element of it made its way into the narrative. So it's an interesting self-reflexive thing.
It makes me wonder, like, because they said that Ivan Ooze was created by John Camps, right? He made the scary villain version of Ivan Ooze. Maybe with the scary version of Ivan Ooze, where he's not this goof, maybe because he's called Ivan Ooze, his ooze does that thing where it hypnotizes parents, because that's a very sort of this type of movie, like where it's like not for teenagers, it's like sort of like tween kind of thing, where they're not little kids, so it can be a little scary. That concept of like the parents are brainwashed or taken over, that's big in this type of story.
Yeah.
And so maybe Ivan Ooze does that in the original script. And when they made him more goofy and fun, they're like, oh, he'll sell a toy. And that's how people will get it.
Right. No, that's possible too. Yeah.
I like to think about the idea of like, what is a scary Ivan Ooze like?
Right. No, I agree.
Because like when they're adolescents, when they're trying to like this type of story, you know, it's so strong and compelling for kids when it's like, oh, the adults aren't around. What are we going to do?
And that's why you have the Fred character,
right?
The little kid character. I mean, that's maybe one of the biggest changes from the show, which is, I mean, there were always like kids in their karate class. Like there would be kids around in the show, but like in this movie, you've got this one kid who like idolizes the Power Rangers and idolizes his five teenage friends that dress in the colors of the Power Rangers.
right.
Never does he put it together.
No.
But that kid creates a sort of audience surrogate for the little kids watching.
Right. And he's the one that actually has an arc out of all the fucking characters in the movie.
It's true, right.
Because he saves his dad, right? And it's kind of funny the way that he saves his dad. I kind of wanted to bring this up. because all the parents are going to go jump into this chasm and they're walking like zombies, and the kids are like literally holding them back. That's the one genuine moment of tension in the movie.
Yeah,
little kids are pushing the parents back and the parents are like pushing these kids towards a chasm, right?
Right.
And so he's like, I got an idea, and Bulk and Skull help him. And so you're like, what's he? Oh, he's got a fire engine. Oh, he's going to spray the parents with water and wake them up. But that's not what he does. He sprays the backs of children to help them push the parents back, right? Like he's shooting the kids with water hoses, and they're pushing the parents back, you know? they're shooting children with hoses.
I know. Yeah.
In a Power Rangers movie.
Yeah. And you're right. That is probably the most the greatest moment of tension in the whole thing.
Right.
See, that's the thing, which is the Power Rangers, you know, they would lose, but then they'd always escalate. Like, they'd lose their fight as people, so then they'd morph, and then they'd lose their fight as Rangers, so they'd get into their Zords, and then they'd lose their fight as Zords, so they become the Megazord.
Right.
They never just got their asses kicked. Like Zordon kind of gets, like, killed or whatever you want, however you want to put it.
Yeah.
It would have been better if Ivan Ooze like just kicked the shit out of them and they were like, wow, we really got our asses kicked. As a kid, I would have been like, whoa, the Power Rangers actually lost.
Yeah.
It's like going back to another franchise from the 80s that I absolutely love. Think about the end of the Ninja Turtles movie, how Shredder basically kicks the shit out of the Ninja Turtles.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're basically like screwed for the first half of that fight.
Right.
And it makes it so much more dramatic.
Yes. You know, it's funny because I wanted to talk about that movie, the Ninja Turtles movie, because I feel like there is a definite connection between these two. And there's always a comparison between these two. Before, we talked about how the Power Rangers are so innocent and this movie is very innocent, right? Ninja Turtles movie is pretty dark, right?
Yeah, way better movie.
Absolutely, 1,000 times better. And it's kind of funny because the Ninja Turtles themselves, I think that the Power Rangers were sort of like the next step, right? We, as kids, we would just go from one to the next.
Sure,
you know, right, from like He-Man to like Transformers to
even the name Mighty Morphin Power Rangers is very much like an ape of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Right, and before you made that comparison with that guy Moore Dant. And you said that like it was kind of like Tokon Razor, Ninja Turtles 2. And so the Ninja Turtles movie, though, is like so much more realistic and darker, and the characters have arcs, whereas this is much more like the show. And the Shredder, because like think about that movie, right? Like the Shredder is the main villain. They don't bring in a new guy for the first Ninja Turtles movie.
Right.
So they bring in Ivan Ooze, and he's much more intimidating. Right. But it happens in all the other kind of franchises too, like in the Transformers, the movie, that's my favorite movie of all time, actually, right? And Megatron comes in and they just like murder all these Autobots, including Optimus Prime.
Doesn't somebody say shit or something? And you're like, whoa, he cursed.
Of course, yeah. That's when there's Unicron, he eats a planet. Yeah. but there is always this sense with these movies that are based on the stuff that we like as kids, where it's like it gets taken to the next level.
Yeah.
And so you made a great point where the Rangers themselves don't really get taken out by Ooze, but Zordon does.
Yeah. Right? All right. Well, as we sort of wrap it up, I know that 13-year-old you was disappointed. As an adult learned man, how would you rate this movie now?
Well, out of a scale of like 1 to 10 or?
Out of 10 buckets of Ooze. No, just how do you think it's good? Do you think there's value to it?
I like watching the Power Rangers show with my daughter, who's 5.
Yeah.
Right. And even my 10-year-old will sometimes watch it. And I would not say that this is anywhere near as good as the best Power Rangers I've seen, which is like Power Rangers Beast Morphers. That's one of the most modern ones.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it's still fun for them. So,
does your 5-year-old like the movie? Did you watch this movie with her?
Unfortunately, it came to a point where she started to have nightmares from watching Power Rangers.
Okay.
So we had to drop it. And the movie kind of, like, those Ooze guys are kind of scary for a little kid.
No, for sure. And the birds, too. Apparently, there was footage of the birds, like, beating them up more, and they cut that down.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There's also, like, I think there's one instance that's barely in the movie that they cut down where, like, Tommy has, like, blood coming out of his mouth.
Really?
Which I think you can see it in like half a shot now, but like it was a whole thing that they were like, no, you got to cut that.
Yeah.
So it would have been interesting if they had let it be PG-13.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? How much more could have gone?
Mm. Yeah, how much darker? Yeah. I don't know. I do like it, though, for its innocence. I think that that might be one of its saving graces, you know, because you can just show it to a kid and maybe it's a gateway to something better. Maybe it's a gateway to the next movie that we're going to discuss.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. For when they're older.
Totally. I agree. I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like I said before, I think that this movie has its charms. Now, I liked it as a kid. I you know, if a person who didn't see it as a kid, they might just see zero value in it. And that I understand as well. But, you know, there's, I don't know. I there's something charming about it. There is something charming about it. And there's something charming about that original team.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. One thing I should say, I just want to give credit. Whenever I have parents' information, I usually get it from two sources, a YouTuber named Linkara, who has a channel called Atop the Fourth Wall, and then a YouTuber named The Sixth Ranger, which Tommy's his favorite ranger, right? The Green Ranger. And The Sixth Ranger recently did a poll for people to put together a favorite Mighty Morphin team. And you could pick from any show, any version of Power Rangers, right? And every time, the number one pick for each color, it was always the main characters from the Mighty Morphin show.
Sure.
So that's the one that's held in high regard.
Yeah.
But I for anyone that is into Power Rangers sort of passingly and they're watching your show, I really do recommend those two YouTube channels. Mm-hmm. And I also just recommend just seeking out other Mighty Morphin or not Mighty Morphin Power Rangers shows.
Yeah.
Because it's a fun thing. And when you see that, like, they're all kind of connected, except for this movie, you know, it's a fun thing. It's almost like its own kind of MCU because it has this ongoing story.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I might look more into it myself.
Yeah. And at the very least, if, you know, if that stuff's a little too cheesy for you, then I always recommend the comics from Boom Studios too.
Yeah, the comics are great. And listen to our episode on the comics. Pete, thank you so much for being here. Can you just tell us, give us a little plug of your channels?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually have three channels because I'm a lunatic. One is called Anchor Pete. That's the name I go by on YouTube. And that's usually me and my wife. We usually review movies and TV shows, usually kind of serious things and thrillers. Like currently we're reviewing Lisey's Story from Apple TV. We just covered East Town, which was on HBO, but we also cover like indie movies like, you know, we covered Lucky and Nobody, things like that. I had another channel, which was called Ramblings in the Rod Pod, but I changed it to Comic Books Transformed. It's me and my friend Brian, and we are talking about, you know, the Loki show, and we reviewed Jupiter's Legacy, just basically comic book adaptation. And then last but not least, I had a channel for close to a year that was called The Lasser Cast. But Danny and I, who's my co-host on there, we realized that that title's like a little too deep cut.
So yeah, I don't get what it means.
Yeah, yeah. It's a reference to a movie called Oculus. There's a mirror called The Lasser Glass. It's all good. The thing is that we're going to change it to Horror Dads because we're both dads. And he shows his 10-year-old daughter like The Exorcist and, you know, like all these horrible movies. So, yeah, yeah. So, and I might show Pepper like gateway to horror movies like Monster Squad and stuff.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Thank you. Yeah. So those are my three channels, man. So you can check those out on YouTube.
Peter, thank you so much for being here. We'll be back next week to talk about Power Rangers from 2017. We end every episode by saying go bye-bye.
And now I know how to do it, like monster or animal, whatever the fuck his name is. Go bye-bye.